नमस्कार, SBS हिंदी से मैं हूं साहिल मक्कड़। और आज की इस खास मुलाकात में मैं आपको मिलवा रहा हूं यूनिवर्सिटी ऑफ सिडनी की एसोसिएट प्रोफेसर एना बाउचर और अर्थशास्त्री एलिसा चॉय से। इन दोनों ने हाल ही में अपना एक शोध लोई इंस्टीट्यूट की आधिकारिक वेबसाइट दी एंटरप्रेटर पर प्रकाशित किया है। शोधकर्ताओं का मानना है कि भारतीय छात्रों का ऑस्ट्रेलिया की तरफ रुझान पिछले कुछ महीनों में काफी कम हुआ है। क्या है इसके कारण, आइए जानते हैं डॉक्टर बाउचर और एलिसा चॉय से। पर साथ ही आपको यह भी बता दें कि SBS हिंदी शोधकर्ताओं के शोध और बयान से ना तो सहमति रखता है और ना ही उनका विरोध करता है। आप दोनों का SBS हिंदी में स्वागत है। माय फर्स्ट क्वेश्चन इज टू यू डॉक्टर बाउचर, कुड यू प्लीज टेल अस अबाउट द फाइंडिंग्स ऑफ योर रिसर्च?
In our latest research, which just came out in the Lowy Interpreter, we've found what we see as a heavily declining interest among Indians in migrating to Australia for educational purposes. And we put this down to a few key factors, one of which is the India ban earlier this year, which limited for a period of time Indians being able to access Australia, including Australians of Indian descent. Wage theft towards Indians and concerns among Indians of a declining educational standard in Australia.
Last year, you had a similar study where you found that Indian students were very much interested in coming to Australia. So, what drastically changed?
Yes, so last year we measured this issue in November, and we did find at that time that among the five biggest accepting countries for Australia, Indians were the most interested in migrating to Australia. But we also at that time noted that there was a rising concern about racism. There were concerns that Australia was perceived as racist by Indians. And so I think what's happened in the ensuing months is that that concern has increased. And it appears, at least from the data, that the Indian ban played a particularly large role in that regard, although there's also reference to more historical concerns around racism. And at the same time, it's also possible that other countries have done a better job at ameliorating the concerns of Indians. So there's also a comparative issue going on, in particular, Canada.
My next question is to Elisa Choi. She is an independent economist. Elisa, could you tell us when was this research conducted and what techniques were used to collect data and information?
So as Anna said, we've actually looked at India in two points in time, late last year in November, and then just recently in August. So it gave us a good snapshot by understanding the changes over time. And the source data that we use is essentially the open internet. So we're essentially scraping information, content online, and we're talking about, websites, blogs, and social media that's outside a firewall. So that means that when people are engaging with content on the internet in the privacy of their own screens, we get to analyze in an unbiased way in their natural environment what they're really deeply engaged with, what's important to them, and most importantly, how they feel. So the technique that we use is a combination of behavioral science as well as complex algorithms involving natural language processing. And we're looking at millions of behavioral interactions online with users of the internet. So the type of data we're talking about is text, images, video, you name it. And we're talking petabytes of data, which is a lot.
Coming back to you, Dr. Boucher, like you said, there's a stark contrast between your earlier study and this study. And thus, can we see it's just a temporary blip, and in the next few months, things gonna be the same normal when Australia open its international borders to students?
I mean, we can hope that, and I think the Australian government will be hoping that because, as we mentioned in the article, they want to diversify away from only having Chinese intake. But unfortunately, the sentiment that is demonstrated is very negative. And Elisa's method has shown over and over again to be quite predictive. So when you see an emotional wheel that looks like that, it is generally predictive of a negative outcome here, that being related to international student migration. I should say also that it wasn't just the India ban. Another concern that came up in our reading was around support for international students during COVID and also access to the labour market. And we don't really know how Omicron's going to play out, what the implications of that will be for the welfare system and the labour market moving forward. But if it continues to be negative, then that's also an issue that will continue to affect Indian students, and they do work at higher rates than some other international students in Australia.
So what does it mean for the Australian education industry, Dr. Boucher?
I think we should be taking this issue of racism very seriously. We should be addressing it head on. And there are things that can be done both by the federal government, as was done under the Gillard Labor government, but also state governments and also arguably universities to sort of tackle this question of a perception of racism. And then the other thing is it shows that areas of public policy are really important. So Indians are concerned about wage theft in Australia, of which Indians are sometimes disproportionately affected. So that's a question for employment law reform, enforcement reform. So I think the challenge here is that government has to address this for a variety of ways, not only looking at education policy, but that's certainly part of the picture.
Yeah. Coming back to you, Alyssa, during your research, did you find that the Indian students were talking more about the universities in Canada, UK or the US?
So in this study, we looked at a few nations. So we looked at comparatively Australia, Canada, UK and the US. So what was interesting was that Canada came up as quite favourable out of all the rest of them. So, and you can see why. I mean, that there's a lot more support and there were more open arms and there were more, well, there is a large Indian diaspora in Canada. So they don't seem to have that same sort of tarnished reputation as racism as we have in Australia. Nonetheless, despite the fact that we picked up racism as an issue, it does not necessarily mean that people will not come to Australia. They just know that it exists. It's, you know, I'm of Chinese descent. Racism is part of everyday life sometimes, right? Doesn't stop me from doing stuff, but it's acknowledged. So in all the countries we looked at out of the Western-speaking nations, Canada definitely is now, I would say, and the UK, of more interest for Indians to travel to education than it is Australia.
So was your research only focused on the Indian students?
In this study, we looked at a market and we don't necessarily single out individual people, whether they're students or not students. So what that means is when we do a study, we looked at the Indian region. So the internet users in India in English language. Now we note that in India, you speak many, many languages of which English is one of them. But obviously the people who come to Australia speak English for education. So that was our sample. And then when we looked at we did a similar study when we looked at in Canada, we looked at the Canada region and we also looked at the UK region. So that's how we sample a market.
My question was, you know, like you told us the behavior of the Indian students, did you do a similar study on the behavior of the Chinese students? Because they are the largest cohort in Australia at the moment.
Yes, it's interesting you mentioned that. We our first piece with Lowy Interpreter was actually on Chinese education demand in Australia. And so what we found were, Chinese students actually, despite all the, I suppose, geopolitical jousting between Canberra and Beijing at the moment, there is a recognition and a longer-term relationship at multiple levels between the Chinese community and Australia at federal, state and local government levels and school levels. And the education demand coming from China, the story was really they're looking at it at different levels from primary school all the way through to tertiary and vocational education. And they didn't really come up with racism again, every story is different. But for the Chinese, that sentiment was actually positive, surprisingly still positive.
Despite all the tensions between the two countries?
Despite all the tensions between the two countries. So it goes to show that everybody makes decisions about their life in different ways. And, you know, when we're making up policy, we can't assume anything. You know, this sort of research gives us very good pulse reads on how people feel, which will determine how they behave in the future.
Thank you, Dr. Boucher, and thank you, Alyssa, for joining us today.
Thank you very much.